Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Monday, June 10th, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Six now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big show at the World Headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. A gorgeous gorgeous day out. Could not be better. Get out there, enjoy that sunshine and beautiful temperatures as well. Coming up very shortly here, for those watching on the stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, here is the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday. A fantastic story by a great reporter, Kimberly Wethall, and she is going to be here in via StreamYard and talking about her great story called Dreams Grow Dimmer on the two-year colleges and rural education in public higher education, as well as a great story she had on the finances thereof. Going to have that in just a moment. But first of all, Mr. Zommers, time once again for a little Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Let's go. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard. Kenny Chesney, it is summertime. I mean, it feels like summer finally out here. And your chance to win this hour on the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. You have to do it. We talked about internet last hour. You have to have the internet or at least cell signal on your personal device. Go to the Civic Media app. You can download it at your favorite app store. Go to the Civic Media app. Open it up. And then you're going to, you see a list of stations, choose the ones closest to you, the one, or select one, and then you click on that, it'll open up, you'll see on the right-hand side of the screen, it'll say text, in a little bubble there. You click on that, and we're going to give you a word here in a minute, and then you just simply text it in. And somebody this hour is going to win a fantastic Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Lovely gifts. And then once per day, we're going to give a pair of Milwaukee Brewer club-level seats away, and two people at the end of this week will be chosen to receive one of the following summer staycations. A Fort Atkinson cottage on the lake, including a pontoon boat. B, a Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores. Or C, a Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites, and we're throwing a gas card in to boot.
But you know the best part of this contest, Todd?
What's that?
It's statewide.
Thank you very much. You've kept me out of jail once again. Our attorneys are standing by, our corporate attorneys. I must tell you, this is a statewide contest. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. If you ever get a show, have a producer like Zommers. He'll set you straight. All right, so here we go. And by the way, we're having a little in-house competition with our friend and colleague, Jane McNair, who will be joining me on the road here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the On the Road Jane and Todd Tour across Wisconsin. All right, your word this hour. Text the following word on the Civic Media app. The word is outdoors. Outdoors is all what it's not two words, it's one word. Outdoors. OUTDOORS. Make sure you make it plural. Put the S on the end. Outdoors. Like, if you don't stay inside, get outdoors. 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 Outdoors is your word this hour. We'll repeat it as we go along, but right now we welcome in via StreamYard here in Madison, Wisconsin, from the great publication, the Wisconsin State Journal, the reporter Kimberly Wethall, and does a fine, beyond a fine job, an outstanding job reporting on what's happening on the University of Wisconsin system in higher education. On very short notice, she has made her way to the show. Kimberly, thank you very much for accommodating us, and welcome back.
Of course, thank you.
So I want to, our pleasure, by the way, I want to kind of, again, set the table. This is something that we at our show have been working on or following since really this all started going on a year and a half ago when President Jay Rothman of the UW system announced his term was suspending classes at first at UW-Richland. As we predicted, it turned out to be the closure of the two-year campus there. And now we're up to five that are essentially on their way out. And it's looking more and more like all 13 colleges may not survive that much longer or be combined or whatnot. I want to start, and I appreciate you for keeping us honest here and sticking to the facts. This is outstanding reporting. You can find Kimberly's work at the Wisconsin State Journal, either online or subscribe. Get your hot little hands on this beautiful paper edition like I did yesterday. By the way, congrats. Front page story above the fold.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I will add that story is actually out from behind a paywall. So if people go to Madison.com and they are interested in reading it, they are able to read it for free. We did the story in conjunction with the Education Writers Association. So for that reason, anybody can go read it.
That's awesome. Props to you and everyone for making that free on the paywall. Let's start with the story from last week and kind of give us the skinny on the finances, because I think that's, first of all, and just being honest with people, let's look at the finances of the UW system. What are the highlights from your story last week on that, Kimberly?
Absolutely. So we'll backtrack a little bit. So last spring, as we were in the middle of the state budget process, you had the UW system president, Jay Rothman, almost warning people that if they did not get more state funding, things were really going to look dire. And coming out and saying, hey, we have 11 of our 13 universities, either their main campuses or their branch campuses, are facing structural deficits. And I'm not supposed to say that word, but it's just the easiest.
Right. That's the word that people can relate to.
Right. So, but, you know, 11 of the 13 universities are facing shortfalls. Together, it's about $58.5 million. And so what we've seen in the last year is that many universities have taken really deep cuts to their programming or to their staffing. So, for example, UW-Oshkosh last October cut one out of every six jobs. And that's jobs that are not the adjunct professors or the limited term appointments. Many of those lost their jobs too. So, you know, we're saying one out of every six, but it is possible that it is a higher percentage of people who lost their jobs there. Platteville and Parkside, they furloughed, or Parkside furloughed, Platteville laid off 12%. So some of our universities in the UW system made really tough choices about what to do with their budgets. Now, fast forward to last week at the Regents meeting, they were approving the operating budget for this upcoming year. And now it looks like we're down to seven universities either have structural deficits for their main or branch campuses. It's down from the 11. So four of our campuses managed to cut their expenses. But, you know, looking at the highlights of what's in there, UW-Oshkosh is still really in dire straits right now. They have depleted their entire reserves for the first time in UW history, and they are now looking at getting a loan from the UW system to balance their budget, which will need to be paid back to the system with interest. And that's not a situation you ever want to see your universities in. So, you know, they largely say that that is because a lot of these savings, these deep cuts they made last year, have not been fully recognized yet. We have, of the others, we have two more branch campuses whose deficits increased, and then the remainder, you know, managed to still cut their budgets, but there is still a deficit balance to be had carried over into this next year. What Jay Rothman has said is that they want to see the budget deficits gone by fiscal year 2028.
From an outsider perspective, and again, I worked at the Capitol a lot, you know, for quite a while, and my former boss was the chair of the UW, at the time it was called the Higher Ed Committee, but the committee that oversees the campuses. So I have some tangential knowledge, but certainly not in there every day like you are in the current situation. What it feels like to a lot of folks as I travel around the state and listen to people in these rural communities is we have a president of the UW system, and yes, I still call it the UW system, that's more concerned about simply just cutting. And it was the perception is he's an attorney, a big attorney from Milwaukee that was brought in to make this thing solvent and really isn't watching out for the Wisconsin idea. Is that an unfair perception in your opinion?
I'm not sure. I, you know, this is my personal opinion too. You know, I tend to have the idea as well, you know, yes, we need to preserve the Wisconsin idea. It's really important. You know, I'm a former rural kid. So having those opportunities to go to college and all of that is really important. At the same time, you know, we've also seen a lot of pressure put on the UW system with budget cuts over the years. And so I think, you know, at least where we're at right now with the legislature, I think there has to be a sense of realism where, you know, under this current legislature, we would not see more money for the UW system. In fact, we saw a $32 million withholding last budget cycle over DEI. And so, yes, I think the perception that, you know, Jay Rothman is coming in and trying to cut things is a fair perception. But I think he's also working within reality and saying, okay, if we don't get any additional money from the state, what are we going to do? We cannot continue to operate like this. So I really think the university's been put in a, you know, kind of between a rock and a hard place, and they're being forced to make hard decisions because of systemic cuts that have happened under, you know, governorships of both parties, right? Jim Doyle cut $50 million from the UW system in the same way that, you know, Scott Walker cut $250 million from the UW system. You know, and now you've got Governor Evers who is pledging to propose $800 million or $400 million annually for the next budget. But we all know that, you know, if the Republicans are in charge of the Joint Finance Committee, they do effectively throw out Governor Evers' proposal and write their own.
Right.
So, you know, I think we've seen this is the result of a lot of state disinvestment. And you see that in the numbers, right? Where, you know, Wisconsin Policy Forum has come out and shown us that UW system ranks 42nd in the nation for public funding per full-time student equivalent. So we have a lot of ground that we lost over the last 15 years since basically the Great Recession. And I think we're seeing it start to really hurt and play out in the UW system.
It just seems to me, and this is a, you know, I guess from having been there and saw from the inside, the attack on both public education, K-12, the university from my former party, the Republican Party, this seems very deliberate. Like, this is kind of what they were going for. And it's disturbing to me because the Wisconsin idea is something that is ingrained in our state history, that the borders of our university are the borders of the state. And it seems to me that the vast majority of our state now in the rural areas is becoming increasingly less served. About 30 seconds before the first break. Is that a fair statement that we're just seeing? I'm sorry, I should have put it as a question, but it seems like... wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media, 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, June 10th. Along right now with us, our guest from the Wisconsin State Journal, a great reporter on higher ed across the state, Kimberly Wethall. Kimberly, we appreciate it. Got cut off there kind of abruptly. Want to finish up there. I was just saying that your great reporting on the finances of the UW system. I mean, to a lot of folks, I think it feels like the Wisconsin idea, which is that the borders of the university are the borders of the state, it really seems to be in danger because rural parts of the state are getting consistently a smaller slice of the pie. Is that fair in your reporting?
I think so. You know, and I think we have to consider the challenges that rural students have to take on when they want to consider going to college. You know, it's so different than their suburban or urban peers where they are often making a huge choice to leave home in order to go get their education. You know, they have limited access to broadband. So, you know, while some might say the answer is, well, you know, they can take online classes, you know, their bandwidth is not always there. And also, should we rob rural students of the opportunity to get a college education and get that feel for what college is like without making them have to drive an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to get that education. So, and even if they are driving there and they're a commuter, or if they're driving there and then staying there, you know, it's a big ask for rural students to do that.
Let's talk about this great story. It was front page of the Wisconsin State Journal. You can find it on the free side, the paywall. So the State Journal is making this available because of its importance to everyone. And is WisconsinJournal.com?
Madison.com.
Sorry, apologize. Yep. Madison.com, where you can find this great story, Dreams Grow Dimmer, by Kimberly Wethall. Kimberly, tell us that you talked to over 90 people. And again, this is fantastic because you actually, I mean, there are journalists out there, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, who are actually doing great journalism, and Kimberly is one of many. You talked to over 90 people. Tell us the story from my hometown of Richland Center of Emily Lund.
Yeah. I'll say I talked to 90 people to start with, just because rural students are not a monolith. I think, you know, people like to paint different stereotypes of all different kinds of people into a box. And rural students are not a monolith, just like everyone else. So talking about Emily Lund, my God, I have never seen a woman more driven to get her education. She, lives outside of Richland Center. It used to take her 3 minutes and 37 seconds to get from her driveway to the Richland campus. And there at the Richland campus, she collected 72 credits over halfway to getting one of her degrees. And then UW-Richland closed last summer. And so she had a choice to make. You know, she could either go to UW-Platteville, the main campus, and drive a lot of those very windy, twisty, hilly roads.
I've done it. I made that drive, County Highway G, down to Platteville.
Mm-hmm. Or she could choose to drive Highway 14 to Madison through Arena and all of that area and have better cell service. And that is what she ended up choosing. But, you know, what that ended up causing is she was on the road for 15 hours a week, just on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's after she'd already gotten up, taken care of her animals. She's driven to UW-Madison, looked for parking on a broken foot, by the way, and ended up having to park by the Cole Center, which is on the complete other side of the Cal's campus. And, you know, she gets there, and only 4 out of 72 of her credits transferred and qualified for the credits that she would need to complete her degree. Otherwise, those credits would be taken as elective credits. So she's already driving 15 hours a day to redo classes she already took at Richland and would logically transfer to Platteville. And so she managed to do this for almost 8 months. And the day I talked to her in April, she was like, "Hey, funny, I'm talking to you right now. I'm actually working on withdrawing from this semester at UW-Madison because it was too much. It was too much to ask where, you know, she would get home around 8 o'clock, then need to go do another round of feedings for her cattle, her goats, the sheep, or not the sheep, the donkey, you know, all of these animals. And then by 10 o'clock, she's starting to focus on herself. And like, that's a lot to ask a rural student to do.
She was getting 2.5 hours of sleep, I think you said in your article.
And 2.5 hours of sleep, if the coyotes aren't keeping her awake, right. You know, so. Yeah. So it's a lot to ask. And so one of her quotes in there was along the lines of, you know, she cannot make it work, even though she cannot leave her tiny town. And so, and, you know, she understands that not everyone is a first generation farmer like she is, but, you know, there are a lot of people in the state where, you know, they are required to be on the farm, because if there's no one on the farm, you are not going to have a farm. You know, dad or grandpa or mom or dad, they need help running this farm. And, you know, when you lose access to education that way, it really puts rural students in a bind.
About 3.5 minutes left. Kimberly Wethall, a Wisconsin State Journal. Talk to us a little bit about this great reporting on lack of counselors. And I've been saying this since the beginning, that the amount of dollars and positions in recruitment to get kids to these small schools has been decreasing, and the lack of help with counselors. Because, okay, there's an enrollment decrease. There's a financial problem. But it's not all that. Explain, Kimberly.
Yeah, so giving a little bit of context here. So the recommended average ratio for students to counselors is 250 to 1. And Wisconsin is by far not the worst in the nation with the ratios, but they still have a ratio in the 300s. And so that means for, you know, for every 300 or more students, you have one counselor who, and you know, often in rural school districts, you're looking at one counselor for the entire high school. You're looking at one counselor for the entire school district. And so frankly, how can we expect counselors to be able to get kids information about college and up-to-date information about college and make sit down and make college plans with kids, many of whom are first-generation college students, right? A lot of our rural counties have, you know, of adults ages 25 and older, less than 20% of their residents have bachelor's degrees. And so, you know, counselors are so important to getting students information. But when you're already stretched thin dealing with other behavioral issues, you know, if you don't have a school psychologist, your school counselor might be creating the 504s, IEP plans. Just how do you have all of this time to get students information about college on top of it and let them know what college is right for them, what program is right for them? You know, they might have people in their family saying, hey, go into nursing, go into, you know, engineering. That'll make you a lot of money. But then if you get in and then that's not your, that's not your passion, well, you've just gone into college, potentially wasted money.
Right.
So there's a lot of issues when we don't have a lot of counselors. And so, you know, one of the stories I wrote does talk about, you know, the people who are trying to fix it. And there are definitely people who are looking at rural students and saying, okay, the counselor infrastructure is not there. So what can we do to try to get students information as early as possible, even as early as freshman year? So that's where you have places like Upward Bound that are in the schools and it's a class during the day. Or, you know, like Wisconsin Dells, all of their students are required to take an Embark seminar, or hopefully they're getting students this information ahead of time. We also have College for Rural Wisconsin that is looking to take, you know, bring information to the students through college roadshows. And one of their college roadshows was imperative for that school district because they did not have a school counselor. That school counselor had quit.
Kimberly Wethall, Wisconsin State Journal. You can find her great reporting at madison.com. It's on the free side of the paywall. Thank you very much, Kimberly. Great reporting, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
My pleasure. Going to talk more about her story, take your phone calls, and more trivia on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, June 10th, 2024. Many thanks to Kimberly Wethall of the Wisconsin State Journal for taking time with us today. You can find this story at madison.com called Dreams Grow Dimmer as Branch Campuses Close, Rural Students Losing College Access. Going to get more into it in just a minute, but a reminder, we are smack dab in the middle of the first day of the final week of Civic Media's Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. A number of lovely prizes. Once per hour, as in right now, somebody this hour is going to win a beautiful Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. You're going to be so happy if you win this and you look in the pack and find all these summer Wisconsin Dells prizes. They're fantastic. I've seen them. I'm not allowed to tell you what they are, but they're fantastic. Also, once per day, one winner per day, a pair, that's two, a deuce, of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. Beautiful seats. You don't have to share your bathrooms, you know, with the general public. You're in the special section. No, it's a very, they're nice because there's just for the club level. And if you ever watch the Brewers on TV and you see the sky boxes, and then right below the sky boxes, you see these kind of really nice, it's a small section right above the general admission of these kind of really nice seats. And if you ever thought, well, who sits there? The answer is it could be you, because these are the club, these are the level of tickets that we're giving away. You get two of those once per day. And then two lucky people listening are going to get chosen at random from all the entries at the end of this week. and you will be a grand prize winner and have a choice of one of the following summer staycations. Either A Fort Atkinson cottage on the lake, including a pontoon boat, driven by Pat Kreitlow and first mate Aaron Zomers. And we're not sure about the crew, but you will get the pontoon boat. Lake Geneva. Everybody wants to go to Lake Geneva, right? The beautiful stay at the harbor shores. And then up in Door County. What's more Wisconsin than Door County? A stay at the Ridges Inn and Suite. And to get there and home, we are giving you a gas card. There's no gas, but you do get... No, there's gas. It's a gas card to buy gas. And so it's fantastic. So all you have to do to be eligible to win is download the Civic Media app, go into the app, open it up, choose a radio station, and then on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see the word text in a text bubble, and text this hour's word, which is outdoors. Outdoors. And for those asking, it's all one word. It's not two separate words. All together now, outdoors. Outdoors. Make sure you make it plural and put the S on the end. Outdoors is this hour's word. Outdoors. Text it right now to the Civic Media app, and you too can be eligible to win all of those lovely prizes. And again, Jane, Matt, Nair, and I, Jane will be here in studio at the World Headquarters tomorrow for her show, and then doing my show, and then the two of us are getting on the road, and we'll find out what Jane likes to eat on the road. I mean, sometimes it's Pringles or sweet snacks. Maybe it's soda. Maybe it's water. Maybe it's coffee.
What do you like to eat on the road?
It depends on my mood and what time of day that I'm driving. So like in the morning, I like a coffee. But sometimes if I'm driving later into the evening, just to stay alert, I'll have a soda or a coffee. Water is always good to stay hydrated. Hydrate or dehydrate, as they say.
I do say that often.
And then, you know, it just kind of depends. Like in the morning, like stopping at Quick Trip for a Long John with white frosting, that's great. Culver's for lunch, you got to drive through Culver's.
Ooh,
get yourself a Butterburger. And then, like, snack. I mean, occasionally a Pringle on the road. Ever tell you this story? I think I have. Years ago, when I was a manager for a Tilted Kilt, and you can look that up. And one of my bartenders, David, when I interviewed him, a great guy, he's very successful now. And he was telling me this story because I always asked people, well, tell me something about, you know, something fun you've done or like somewhere where you learned something to kind of get to know him. And David said, well, my buddy and I took a trip to Australia in college, and we went camping in the outback. And they, in the middle of the night, they looked out of their tent and they heard all these like dogs, and they looked out and it was a pack of dingoes.
Oh my gosh.
A pack of dingoes, wild dingoes in Australia. And he said what they had forgotten is he and his buddy, they had left their whatever you want to call it, container of Pringles on the picnic table. And the dingoes were eating the Pringles. And he said, the dingo ate my Pringle. And I said, oh my God, copyright that. I mean, that's a t-shirt right there.
Especially in an Australian accent. Right? I'm not even going to try and imitate it. But
a dingo ate my Pringles. So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, you got to be, when you have Pringles, you have to be careful. We are going to the North Woods. So you don't want to leave. I'm not sure. I don't think they have any dingoes up in Amory, but they got bears.
Well, yeah, it's just like with any camping, you got to be safe about how you store your food.
They got bears. They got tigers. They've got cougars. The four-legged and the two-legged. Maybe Jane and I will go to an Applebee's and we'll get Dollaritas.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be great to see if I can get Jane drunk on Dollaritas at Applebee's?
Would be pretty funny. We also got a text saying, I never eat and drive. Signed, Greg, the blind man from Waukesha. I'm glad to hear that, Greg.
Well, that's very good, Greg. I'm not even sure how to take that, but very good. Thank you very much. So the word this hour is outdoors. Text it to win. Outdoors. O-U-T-D-O-O-R-S. Outdoors. I want to finish up a few more things on this great article in the Wisconsin State Journal by Kimberly Wethall. Again, she points out, and here I want to point out a couple of things that we did not get to in our interview with her, and welcome your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Here's a snippet for you, a factoid from this great article. The UW system has cited declining enrollment, not finances, as the reason, even as the system projected that 13 campuses would be a cumulative $60 million over budget by the end of fiscal 2024. So system, Jay Rothman, the president, says it ain't the money that's the problem. It's, he blames it on declining enrollment. And then you have Tony Evers, who I'm sure is very well-intentioned, but over the weekend, basically saying he wants to put $1 billion, well, a little short of it, $800 million, and make a historic investment over two bienniums into the UW system. And as a former Republican who sat in these meetings, I can tell you for a fact that it has been intentional for Republicans in the legislature to underfund the UW system. So I welcome Governor Evers' commitment to adequately fund the system. But what I think would be more productive, with all due respect, is to identify the actual challenges and realities and problems before you just write a check. And part of that is keeping the UW system honest when they try to blame this on open, or when they try to blame it on lack of enrollment. But then, and we got into this a little bit with Kimberly, if you look at what's happening in our public K-12 schools, there's a funding problem there for lack of counselors, as she said. And also across the system, as we know from our own reporting, there are a number of recruiter positions that are left unfulfilled, unfunded. And I think what a lot of people miss is when you come from a rural part of the state like I do, you don't always have counselors who are, you know, they're overworked. There's not enough of them. And they don't have time always to sit down with every individual student and help them plan out things. And this, I keep going back to this guy, John Poole, who I've known all my life, who is the great recruiter at UW-Richland. And he would go out in the evenings to these education career fairs. And he rarely sat behind the table. What happens is in these small gymnasiums or cafeterias, you have military folks come, you have colleges, tech schools, entrepreneur programs, and they tell high school kids, hey, here are your options after you get out of high school. And what John was famous for doing is standing on the side of the table where kids and parents were walking by and saying, hey, I'm John. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you plan on doing? And if they say, well, I'm kind of thinking about college. Cool. Where? Well, I'm not sure, but I'm not sure I could afford it. John would say, come over here. Let me just show you what we offer. Let me show you how it can be made affordable. Let me show you the scholarships that we offer. Let me show you the financial aid that's available. Let me show you how starting in a two-year, you can transfer, if you do it right, to a four-year and get a degree. That's the sort of hands-on explanation and guidance it takes to make your recruiting numbers. And we are seeing a dearth of that in the UW system. Combined with underfunding of K-12 public schools and having a lack of college counselors there. So when Jay Rothman and others say that, well, you know, just lack of numbers, low enrollment, part of that, a large part, is because they're not doing their job in recruiting people, recruiting students. And yes, underfunding is certainly part of it. And I applaud the governor for wanting to properly fund. But as I said at the top of the show, my former boss, Dale Schultz, was famous for telling his staff, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions. So I want to lay out the tenets. And as Jane and I travel the state this week, I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to keep asking it all week, and I want to invite your phone calls and your texts, your emails. Because I think if I'm going to be responsible as a former staffer in the Capitol who actually knows a few things about how to get something done, if you're honest about wanting to see a solution, you have to check the blame game at the door and the politics. So I think the first thing that I would recommend to the governor and to President Rothman is to set up a nonpartisan or bipartisan commission, a blue ribbon commission, and take the public part of the university system to the public. And I actually know a couple of guys that I think would be willing to co-chair it. One is still a Republican, my former boss, Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader. And the other is a Democrat, former Senate Majority Leader, Tim Cullen. And these guys have a little experience with this. They were the ones that put together the bipartisan plan for redistricting that all these years later was largely copied by Republicans in putting forward their proposal. And you put Dale and Tim, and here's another name that some people won't recognize, Jan Mueller, longtime head of the state audit board, widely respected as nonpartisan. You help her staff it. And then you go around the state and you listen to people. And you hold actual public hearings that are not in a closed room or with invited guest lists. And you listen. And then you have an audit of the UW system. Find out what's working, where money is being spent wisely, and where it's being wasted. And let me guarantee you, there are places in the UW system where money is being wasted. Identify the problems. Identify the shortcomings. Identify what's going well. In a bipartisan manner, listen to the public and then see how many dollars it's going to take to do it right. Talk more about this plan straight ahead. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the hour of 2 o'clock after the news, weather, and sports update, our colleague and friends, Ms. Maggie Dawn and Mr. Brian Kelly, come at you with the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show immediately following our program every afternoon from 2 until 4. Do not miss it. Maggie Dawn begins week 2 of looking at the Biden record. This is fantastic. Again, rather than just always harping on the negative, reminding folks about the positive. Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 2 until 4. Be here. Do not miss it. It's going to be a great show straight ahead. Finishing up these thoughts on this great article in the Wisconsin State Journal over the weekend by Kimberly Wethall, great reporter at the State Journal, on the University of Wisconsin system and the challenges to rural students. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We had a caller. It's kind of like going fishing. It got off the line. We lost him on the line. So if you'd like to call back, we'd love to have you on. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also, don't forget, about seven more minutes left to get in on this hour's Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. The key word this hour is outdoors. O-U-T-D-O-O-R-S. Outdoors. All one word. Outdoors. Text it right now on the Civic Media app, and you too could be eligible for a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack, a pair of Milwaukee Brewer Club level seats, or a beautiful summer staycation in Fordac can sit on the lake, including a pontoon boat, Lake Geneva at Harbor Shores, Door County stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. All you have to do is text OUTDOORS right now to the Civic Media app. But as Mr. Zalmers reminded us earlier, when you get that confirmation text back, you can get a twofer. Because if you check your voter registration, and by the way, we're not asking who you're voting for. We want everybody to vote and participate in democracy. When you click on those return texts, every time you do, that's another entry for you. So make sure you follow up, help yourself out, do yourself a double favor, check your voter registration, and get yourself another entry in the Civic Media Text to Win contest.
Also, speaking of outdoors, you mentioned your Australia story earlier about the dingo eating Pringles.
Yes.
We have a comment from John on YouTube. I'm not sure if I believe this.
All right, John, we got?
But it's hilarious.
All right, what we got?
John says, I have a friend who lives in Australia. He was in Boy Scouts, and during one night, they had a koala walk into camp. And as you know, they eat those oily eucalyptus leaves. Well, the koala fell into the fire and exploded.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of a koala exploding.
Again, I'm not sure I believe that, but it's funny.
But an interesting story, nonetheless. So I want to just, again... We're going to be talking about this UW story all week, this UW system story. And again, this great piece by Kimberly Wethall, statejournal.com, or Wisconsin State Journal at madison.com. It is free. It is not behind the paywall, so you can read it for free. You don't have to sign up for anything. And we're going to, you know, Jay, Matt, and Aaron and I are going to rural Wisconsin. Richland Center, Eau Claire, of course, an urban area, but lots of rural areas nearby. And as it turns out, Rice Lake, UW-Barron County, is a satellite of UW-Eau Claire. And then we're going to Amory, not too far from Rice Lake, but actually. And we're going to ask people, what do you think about rural higher education? Is it important to you? I'm pretty sure, having come from rural Wisconsin, the answer is going to be yes. And I just really, really wish, and I'm going to try to do my part to make it happen, that state leaders on both sides of the aisle would put aside partisan politics and put Wisconsinites first. And it's hard to do that when you're sitting on the 17th floor of Van Nuys at UW System. It's hard to do that when you're in the east wing of the Capitol. In order to understand Wisconsinites, you need to be out amongst them. You need to sit there and take it for a few minutes and let people vent. You need to hear about the success stories of our two-year colleges across this state and all of our UW system. And I think that if Governor Evers and Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and Jay Rothman would spend more time amongst real Wisconsinites and then talk to us and level with us, maybe it's true, as much as I might not want to hear it. Maybe it is true that the Wisconsin idea that has endured for over 100 years has to be adjusted to meet modern times. That's okay, as long as it's done the correct way and with thoughtfulness, and to ensure that a modified Wisconsin idea can endure for another 100 years. So I call the governor and the president and the legislative leaders to create a blue ribbon task force on the Wisconsin idea. Appoint Republican Dale Schultz and Democrat Tim Cullen as the co-chairs. Put Jan Mueller, a nonpartisan legislative audit bureau chief of the past, as one of the key staffers. Do an audit of UW system. Involve Bob Lang from the nonpartisan legislative fiscal bureau. Get facts on paper, real facts, financially, statistically, find out what works, find out what doesn't, and let's come together as Wisconsinites and listen to our friends and neighbors, the citizens of Wisconsin, about what they want for the future of our UW system. And then let's move together forward. As our state motto says, always forward. Because together we can do this. Wisconsin was one of the birthplaces of the progressive movement. Thinking that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. The continual sifting and winnowing of ideas whereby the truth alone may be found. It's emblazoned in bronze on Bascom Hill. And it lives and breathes and can be again. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks to Kimberly Wethall, to Mr. Zahmer, all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum and text OUTDOORS right now on the Civic app.